Turn your Bible to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 starts out with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where does that come from? That's what Jesus said on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And they said, what? He's calling Elijah. They didn't know. They couldn't understand. God had put a veil over Israel, and they could not understand what was being said. And he was quoting scripture. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Psalm 22 has prophecies concerning Christ on there. They pierced my hands and feet. They parted my garments and cast lots for my vesture. They mocked him. Psalm 22 has references to beasts in it. Look at verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Look at verse 16. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. All of these things now are telling what is happening to Jesus while he's on the cross. There are some of these that are unseen. What you cannot see, the Bible is giving you the glasses to see. When you look at verse 12, you see those bulls? You look at verse 13, you see them lions? Look at verse 16, you see them dogs? They were there. God knew they were there. Jesus knew they were there. He could see them. He knew they were there. They were not seen by the people at the foot of the cross, but they were there. How is that possible? I'll show you. Turn to... let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I love just going through the Bible. Amen. I love doing little Bible studies like this, getting wisdom from it. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. And if you look in verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. What are seraphims? They're angels. They're angelic beings, right? Okay, now I want you to notice that they had six wings. Animals have wings. Beasts, birds, the fowl of the air, they have wings. Okay, so there are different types of angels. There are different types, let's call them spirits. There are different types of spirits. The three men that came to meet Abraham, two of them went on to get Lot out of Sodom in Genesis 18 and 19. They were described as men, but we know from Genesis 19 that two of them were angels. The third one was the Lord Jesus before he was born.
Yes.
Okay, these men had feet. They sat down. They ate meals. The men of Sodom wanted to know them, biblical term. So we know that these messengers, these spirit men, they had the form and the appearance of men. That's what they look like. Gabriel looks like a man. Michael looks like a man. So there are male men angels in your Bible. But there are also, and I want you to get this, I want you to understand this. There are spirits that are beasts. These seraphs are beasts in their appearance. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. I hope to help you with something tonight. Okay, I'm setting the stage for what I'm going to show you. As you're turning in your Bible and you look at this house up here, is there any old houses like that around here in the woods?
Yeah, sure.
You ever go in them? Let me ask you a question. If you were to kind of go on a little walkabout and you come to a clearing, you see a house like this, and you decide to go in it, let me ask you, what are you going to see inside of this house? Snakes? You betcha. Possums? Bats? Dirt daubers? Birds? Cockroaches? Spiders? Maybe a raccoon? Maybe a coyote? Right? Why are they in that house? Why are they in that house? It's desolate. I want you to think about that. Ezekiel chapter 1, in verse 5. Out of the midst there came the likeness of four living creatures. Four. Four is the number of the spiritual realm. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you that in your Bible. They had four faces. And there was four living creatures. And they had four wings in verse 6. And I want you to look at verse 7. They had, the feet was like calf's feet. And then on, they had wings. And then I want you to look at verse 10, the likeness of their faces. They four had the face of a man. Then they had the face of a lion. They had the face of an ox. Then the face of an eagle. Just like animals. Just like beasts. Now turn to, and if you look in Revelation chapter 4, John sees the same thing, only sees a little bit different, and you're going to see that same thing. You can see these cherubim that have a beast appearance. Now turn to Daniel chapter 7. We're kind of going in order here. Daniel chapter 7. If we look in verse 3, how many great beasts came up from the sea? Four. What is your Bible telling you about that number? These are spirits. These are spirits. Look at them. The first was like a what? A lion. Look at verse 5. Beheld another beast. The second like a what?
A bear.
A bear. Look at verse 6. Lo, another like a
leopard.
And then look at verse 7. After this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast. Dreadful and terrible, strong exceeding. They had great iron teeth and devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Okay? These are beasts. These spirits are wild animals. They are beasts, which means that they have a beast nature about them. Okay? Let me explain that. Let me kind of give you some wisdom, all right? And a pastor friend of mine, Brother Mike Hutzel, great man of God, he explained this one time, boy, I liked it. The difference between man and a beast. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you hear somebody coming and sneaking in your kitchen window, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know they shouldn't be there, and you hear them coming, let's say you kind of go out in the hallway and you kind of back into a bedroom a little bit and you've got a big great baseball bat, or you got a piece of iron, or you got a 38 special, or a 9mm Beretta. Or shoot, let's just get her done. You got an SKS holding it like this, all right? And he comes walking down the hall and it's dark and he doesn't know you're there. He walks by and you don't realize it, but your toes are sticking out there in the hallway and he steps on your toes. You have the ability to go and not say a word till he gets past and then... You got him. You have the ability in your mind to hold back your urges.
Yes. That's right.
You have the ability. If your dog was laying there asleep and that fella came by and stepped on his paw, what would he do? Would he have the ability to hold back his urges? No. He is a beast. He has a beast nature. Does everybody understand that? These spirits that come out of the sea are beasts. All the theologians for years have been looking at the symbolism of what these four beasts represent. They have left off the substance. These are beasts. The spirit world is full of wild beasts. Let me ask you a question. What's the devil look like? He's a serpent. He is a dragon. Snake. Is he not?
Yes.
What kind of nature does the devil have? A beast nature. He thinks like a beast. He has the heart of a beast. He does not have a choice over his nature, his impulses. How God designed him, he does not have a choice in it. He is the way God made him to be. Can he be defeated?
Yes.
Of course he can. Okay? Now, I want you to just take all this now. In fact, let's do that. I'm going to give you one more. Turn to Ephesians 6. And I'm going to nail this down for you so you understand some things. What did I say the number 4 represented? Spiritual realm. How is New Jerusalem built? How's New Jerusalem built? Four square. It's not a city of this earth. It's a city from heaven.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So watch this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of who? Now watch this. He's using the most important word here in all that I'm going to show you tonight. What does a guard do? What does he do? He stands. He may stand with a weapon, but he stands. If you see the guard laying down, he's not guarding. If you whop him a good one and he falls down, he's no longer guarding. Paul is teaching you, Paul said in Galatians, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Paul also said in 2 Thessalonians 2, for that day shall not come except a... What is the opposite of standing? Falling away. Let me ask you, on the plain of Dura, when Nebuchadnezzar set up his 60 cubit image by 6 cubits wide image, did you hear that number? Mm-hmm. That image had sixes all in it. Mm-hmm. It's a prophecy. When he erected that image in the plain of Dura, and he said, we're going to play the praise and worship music, the rock and roll stuff, he wanted everybody to do what? Fall. What was it that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was it that they did? So on that day, can you then tell the difference who is on God's side and who isn't? Just look out at the plain and see who's laying down and see who's standing up. Then you've got your people who are on the Lord's side. See how easy that is? Let me tell you something. Paul is warning here about the evil day. There is an evil day coming, my friend, and it's going to be bad. We can already smell it. We can already sense it. We can already see it happening. And there are churches right now that are falling left and right. And God is looking for some people who will
stand.
That's
right. Amen.
Okay? Now I want you to get some wisdom from this. So he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let's count in our Bible. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How many do we have here?
Four.
And the fourth one, he mentions spirits. Does he not? Think about that third one, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Are there creatures that only come out at night? And they'll scare the willies out of you. Amen? Listen, you ain't been scared until you walked out to a deer stand one morning before daylight and 20 roosting turkeys flew out of a tree all at once. Woo! I went, what was that? And I went, them stupid turkeys! Couldn't see them. And then sure enough, I could hear them calling one another, coming back, and I could see them crossing right in front of me. Turkeys. Wish it was turkey season. Didn't see no deer that year, but saw plenty of turkeys. Think about owls. When owls come out. Bats. Night. They're night creatures. There are night creatures that roam the woods at night. They come. They love darkness. I want you to ponder this. God's going to teach you something. God's going to help you with something. God's going to help something that's going on in your house. God's going to help tonight with something that's going on in your marriage. Or maybe if there's different churches here or even this one. God's going to help you understand something that's going on here. I don't know. I don't have insight. I don't know you people. God's going to help you with something. How would you like for your house and your family to end up like this? How'd you like for this church? Shut the doors, cut off the power, let her sit for another 75 years till it looks like this. What's our country going to look like in another 50 years? I tell you, this Bible's got all the answers. God has shown me over the years how this all works, and I want to help you with it. Okay? Mark chapter 4, look here. Jesus is teaching us the language of the Bible. And he gives a parable in Mark 4. He said, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." Now I want you to get wisdom out of this. Fowls, they're creatures that have wings. What do we see in Isaiah 6 and Ezekiel 1 and Daniel 7? There were spirits that had wings. Look at what he gave the interpretation of. He said in verse 14 or verse 15, "But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts." Let me ask you a question tonight. Who in here believes in giants, dragons, and unicorns?
Amen.
I'm going to catch some of you tonight before you get out of here. You're going to go, "I believe in giants, dragons, and unicorns."
That's right.
Who was David standing in front of throwing that stone in his head? Do you believe in giants?
Yes.
Who was it that Moses and Joshua fought to get into the promised land? Og, whose bed was 9 cubits long. That man was that tall. I believe in giants.
Yes, absolutely.
Your Bible mentions unicorns.
Yes, it does.
Now, I'm not talking about the little furry horses with the little horns that as they shoot across the sky, a rainbow comes out their rear end. I'm not talking about that kind of unicorn. Did you know that there was a creature, Elasmotherium sibericum? I remember that term. They found him in Siberia. They got skeletons of this thing. This creature was huge. He was hairy, and he had a horn coming out the front of his head. Remember what horns represent? If you've got the horn, you're in charge. You got the does and you got the land. Amen? And God likened himself to the strength of the unicorn. Now, if unicorns do not exist, your Bible's wrong. Those creatures existed on this earth. They just aren't the fantasy type that you see in little cartoons and stickers. Do you believe in dragons?
Yes.
You should.
Absolutely.
You should. They roam the earth. And here's what I've learned. For just about every type of earthly creature that we can see on this earth, there is a spiritual equivalent.
Yep.
And just as animals. Maybe you know dogs. Maybe you know cats. Maybe you know goldfish. Maybe you know cows and coyotes and deer and rabbits and squirrels. Maybe you know their nature. You know how they are. As you understand those, God will help you understand the spirits that are around you. Because right here, he said, the fowls of the air come down. And he's given you the earthly representation. What we see, we know that birds eat seed, don't we? Now he's telling you what it really means. Here's Satan, and every place he's... Watch this now. I'm going to give you some wisdom. Every place the devil sees a Bible laying around, it is in his nature to swoop down and gobble it up before it has any effect in a person's life.
That's right.
How many tracts you think have been passed out by Christians all over the world? I know a man, he lives out in Las Vegas, Nevada. His goal is to pass out 300 gospel tracts a day, every day in Las Vegas. Did you know that that town is so full of devils that almost all of those tracts that he passes out, the devil comes down, swoops them up right then and there, and they have no effect on that person. They end up in a trash can somewhere. Do you not see the spirit behind that? There was a devil that came down, swooped that thing up, and gobbled it up, devoured it before it had ever had a chance to have an impact in that person's life. How many of you understand that now? You give out gospel tracts. You've handed out flyers for this revival all over town. How many of them got wadded up, thrown in the trash? Yeah. Because there was a devil that came down, gobbled that thing up and said, you don't need that. You don't need to go over that church. You don't need to hear that guy. He's nuts. There was a spirit behind that. Did you not know that? Your Bible just told you that.
Yes.
Listen to me, church member. That day that you were said, well, you know what? I need to read my Bible. Here he comes.
Uh-huh.
Here he comes swooping down. And all of a sudden he hid your Bible. And he got your mind on everything else that day. And all of a sudden you laid there at night and said, I didn't read my Bible today. That was a dragon that did that. That was a beast that's been swarming around your house, been swarming around your life, just waiting for the opportunity, looking for a Bible laid out to come in and get it. Okay? By the way, let me show you the reality of this. Jesus is the Word. You remember in Revelation 12 that the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born? Did not the devil, through Herod, want to kill Jesus as soon as he was born?
Yes.
Wanted to devour the Word of God.
Yes.
Just like birds who see seed or food on the ground, Satan's nature is to devour the Word so that it has no effect in a person's life. So anytime you wanted to study the Bible, anytime you wanted to come to church, I guarantee you, There was a beast standing in your way doing what they do to keep you from it. Okay? Think about this. In Genesis, God gave man dominion over the beasts. That's why we can fish and squirrel hunt, rabbit hunt, deer hunt, and kill chickens, and kill cows and goats if you want to. Shoot, I've even got, from Silver Dollar Sea, I got kangaroo jerky in the van ready to go home. We're going to eat that in my office one day, Ryan. God gave us the dominion over those things. That's why we can kill them and eat them. God gave us dominion over the beast, did he not?
Yes.
Revelation 13, God gives the beast dominion over man.
That's right.
You think about that. You ponder that for a while.
Uh-huh.
There are beasts who want dominion over your family, your territory, this church, this holy ground that woman spoke about, there's a beast that wants dominion over that.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Those of you who know animals, do animals take dominion over property?
Yes. Territorial.
How do dogs do it? Go ahead and say it. They wet on trees.
Right. And tires.
And don't stand still too long either. Amen? And carpets. How do buck deer do it? That's scent glands. They mark their... How'd bear do it? Did you know what Paul told us about principalities? A principality is a devil or a spirit that is a prince over a territory. There are territorial spirits. Do you not know that? There are territory animals everywhere. God is showing you. He's teaching you by you seeing what goes on in the... Listen, if you own a cat, you know that you live in their house. Cats own you. You cats would sit in your chair and you'd be going. And the cat would be going. I don't think so. Beasts, principalities are territorial. Can I take a little time to tell you my personal experience with this?
Yes, please.
Okay. I didn't hear 85 people say yes, just a couple, so blame them, all right? I've been to Kenya 3 times. The last time God allowed me to get there and back unscathed. The first 2 times, you would not believe the level of stress, depression, fear that was on me. Number one, the first trip in 2011, just getting there, we were hindered by a storm. Who's the prince of the power of the air?
Satan.
Yeah, we were not going to make it. And my son-in-law's grandmother in Kenya prayed through, and she told We were stranded in London, and she told my son-in-law, God told me all of you are going to be in Nairobi tonight. And that hour, 12 seats opened up on a plane for us to get to Nairobi that night. And we got there, and I was going to go preach in the slums of Kibera, which is, there's millions of people that live there. It's the worst you have not seen in America, a place like this. And God had me set up to preach there. And the night before, we got in late, I was stressed, I was tired, and when I laid down, I heard in my mind all night, get out, leave, you don't belong here, you are in danger, get out. And I heard that, and I listened to that, and I listened to that to the extent that I was in almost a panic. I almost got up, grabbed my wife, and said, we got to get to the airport, we have to get out of here. God gave me calm. The next morning, God showed me why I was there. But those spirits haunted me the whole time I was there until I quit preaching. Then they went back a little bit. The second trip, and then I realized when I got back what was going on. The second trip, me and two other preachers, we preached for a week in Kilimambogo, which is east of Nairobi, and we had great meetings there. God just really opened up doors of ministry there, and God just did wonderful things. But that whole week, I was stressed. Man, I'm missing my wife, I'm missing my home, I'm in this strange country. But I was okay. Then we're going to travel across Kenya to a town called Migori. We get to Migori, we check in the hotel, and we're going to go out on the countryside the next day and preach. And that afternoon, when I woke up from a nap, they were there, and they were on me the same way. Get out, you need to leave, you need to go home. Your church is in danger. Your wife is in danger. You're in danger. You don't belong here. You need to get out. You need to get out. And my daughter, what my son-in-law, if he were here, he would tell you that I said, Michael, get me a flight. Get me out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And the two other preachers that were with me, I told them, I said, I got to leave tomorrow. I got to get out of here. And one of the preachers said something that just made me think. And I went and prayed and I realized what it was. And I told him, I said, they do this to me every time I come over here. They want me out of here. And the next morning, I had determined that whole week I was not going to preach. I was going to lay up in the hotel until we went back and get on a plane and get home. And the next morning, we met for breakfast. It was 8:30 in the morning. We met for breakfast down in the... And I was eating breakfast with them, didn't say a word to them about it. But I had it in my mind, when I got done eating breakfast, I was going to grab my bag and go back up to the hotel room and go to sleep. And at 9 o'clock, we got up, and when I stood up and put my backpack on, the Holy Ghost said, Mike, go get in the van and go preach like I told you. So I went and did it. And as we left town, I noticed there were two Muslim mosques in that town. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, I know what those things are. I know what they represent. And I'm not kidding you. We got 4 or 5 miles out of town, and just like that, that heavy spirit was gone instantly. And as we traveled, I turned around and looked at those pastors. I said, do you believe spirits are territorial? And they said, yeah, we do. I said, we just left our territory. Because I feel free now. Here's what I didn't know. 9 o'clock in the morning, Kenya time, is 1 o'clock in the morning, Missouri time. I didn't know that morning, 12:45, which was 9:15 in Kenya, God woke my wife up. She sat straight up out of bed, and she heard, pray for your husband. Amen. She began to weep and pray for me. Amen. And as she prayed, the Holy Spirit said, Mike, get up and go get in that van and go preach like I told you. That's why I bring her. Okay? Listen to me. Just as animals in this world have territories, so do these beasts. And they want yours. They want, guys, they want you out of the way. You're in the way. You're in the way. They want you out of the way. I'm going to show you that. Let me get to... How can I do this? Look at this. Here's the nature. Now, what I did years ago, I wanted to study dragons. Because I knew they were all in the Bible, and I wanted to know, God, show me something with this. And here's what I found out. God shows you, just like a Boy Scout manual, show you how to find tracks in the woods. Some of you guys know how to know what buck deer's around because you know the rubbings and the scrapes, and you can see the tracks, and you know that they've been around in that area. God, this Bible is a guide to understanding beasts. This is your trail guide right here. Watch this. Thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. Here's their nature. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. The shadow of death is always related with darkness. Dragons, number one, have a place where they like to live. Dragons, you write this down. Dragons have a place where they like to live. Let me give you this. Jesus himself said, foxes have, birds have. Do they not? Is that not true? So let me tell you where dragons like to live. Let me tell you where the devil likes to live. In a dark place. Does that make sense? Are there animals that like to live in dark places? Snakes do. You've flipped the light on in the kitchen and the cockroaches run. Amen? They're going for the dark. Hurry! Why? They hate the light. Now you listen to me, and you listen to me real good. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you a sincere question. When is the last time you cracked open your Bible? When is the last time you bowed your head and spent some time with the Lord Jesus in prayer? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't got that Bible open and you ain't got your knee bent in prayer, you are full of darkness.
Yes, that's right.
You are full of darkness. Do not be surprised at what's going on in your life. Do not be surprised at the sins that the devil got you into. Why? Because where the darkness is, that's where the dragons are going to be.
Amen.
This Bible's right. Amen. This Bible's trying to wake you up. This Bible's trying to make you wise unto salvation.
Yes.
This Bible, God wants to save your home, men.
Yes.
God wants to save your marriage.
Amen.
God wants to save it for your children and your grandchildren's sake. God wants your home full of light.
Yes.
Look what your Bible says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. Now I guarantee you, you open that Bible up and shine that light, and them suckers will go, wow, we got to get out of here.
Amen.
The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Do you see how simple this stuff is?
Yes.
You know deer and you know cows and you know dogs, you know, cats, you know, hamsters and squirrels. You hadn't thought anything about devils. Bunch of serpents and snakes and owls, vipers. Bunch of nasty creatures that all they want to do is poison you and poison your family. By the way, where did God put the venom on a serpent? It comes out of his mouth. See, that's in verses I skipped a while ago. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They speak lies. Because let me tell you something, guys. I'm going to preach to you men for a while. Is that okay, ladies?
Amen.
You ladies will pick up on it. You'll get it. You'll apply it to you. But see, listen. I know that in dealing with a home, we have got to get our men back in line where God wants them. Ladies, are you in with that? Would you like a husband that was living the way God wanted him to live? And I'm not preaching down to you people. God knows me and my wife have been through issues of marriage. And I'm not telling you anything that God has not personally showed me by prayer, by fasting, by understanding this Bible. And why my wife, more than anything out of me, wanted a husband that was going to be a godly husband, that was going to stand and be the husband that I was supposed to be. She wanted me to make the hard decisions for her in her life. And God finally showed me that. And when God showed me that, He blessed us far greater than I could have ever asked for. That's why she's with me. That's why she's still with me. Because I had dragons all in my house. And God showed me those one day. And they speak lies, guys. Their poison is in what you're thinking. You're believing the lies that other people tell, and you're believing the lies that you yourself have dreamed up. Why? Because you refuse to get in the light so the dragons will leave. 2 Peter 1, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a what?
Dark place.
Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You remember the man that Jesus met that had legion of devils?
Yes.
Where did he live? In the shadow of death. He was full of dragons and serpents and owls and satyrs. He was full of doleful creatures, howling like an animal, walking around. What was his condition of clothing?
Naked.
Animals don't wear clothes. This man had a beast heart about him. And those devils took over his nature, and all he wanted to do was live where the dead people live, in the darkness, naked like a beast. Nebuchadnezzar, God turned him over. God gave him a beast heart. He shed his clothes, and he lived like an animal for 7 years. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness. Listen to this, men, listen to me. Listen to the word of God. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Let me tell you something. God's dealing with some men in this room. How do I know that? I'm just taking a guess. But God's dealing with some men in this room. God's giving you the opportunity to come to the light and get out of the darkness that you're in. And if you don't do that, God's going to turn you over to darkness, and you're going to have so many devils around you, you won't be able to get out of it. Your marriage will be busted up like that. Your kids will be going to visit you every other weekend, if at all. It's good preaching. This will help us. This will help this church.
Yes.
Laid hold on the old dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Isaiah chapter 13, Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know where Sodom and Gomorrah is right now? I think we have a clue. It's the southwest area of the Dead Sea. And if you go there, there hasn't been a soul lived there for thousands of years. They can't grow. There's nothing that grows there. It doesn't rain there ever. Nobody lives there. You know what God did with the area that Sodom was? Sodom was this great. Remember what Lot chose? The well-watered plains of Sodom. What is it now? It's as barren as any place on the earth, and nothing lives there. Especially no men. Look at this. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Now look at this next phrase. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. It's two applications of this. Well, three. Number one, Jesus is the shepherd of your life. Watch this. If you're sitting here tonight, you can be a church member, you can be on the board. You can be a Sunday school teacher and be playing games with God. Don't tell me it's not possible.
Right.
I did it. Don't tell me that. Oh, that doesn't go on in our church. Bless God. Don't give me that.
That's right.
Your life, you could just be playing little games. Be the big guy in the church, the big lady in the church. Like Babylon, like Sodom. Be full of evil and full of wickedness, unrepentant. God will turn you over. You know what God's going to do? Pull the shepherd out.
That's right.
You know who the shepherd is, don't you? You know what he carries in his hand? Big rod. You know why he does? You know what? What did David do with his sheep? When a lion came? Lion came. Stole a lamb out of the flock. David didn't go, "Oh dear. Daddy, we lost a lamb." He ran after that lion, grabbed him by the beard, beat on him, pulled the lamb. Hey, that lamb was you. Pulled you out of the lion's mouth. Beat the lion. Get back. Don't you ever come back here. Lion went home, told the other lions, "Stay away from that fold over there. That's a mighty man over there. Amen. That's the shepherd. Stay away from that guy."
Amen.
Amen. Listen, what you guys need is a pastor who will reach out in the devils and the dragons and the lions of your life and pull you out of that with his preaching.
Amen.
Amen. First thing God will do is he'll pull the shepherd out of your life. He'll pull the shepherd. He'll pull God's power and authority and protection out of your marriage. He'll pull the shepherds out of a church house. It's happening all around us, people. The shepherd shall make... Neither shall the shepherd make their fold there. The wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and houses shall be full of doleful creatures. You know what that means? Mourning creatures. Woo! You know what them coyotes make at night, and them owls. I woke up one night, I was camping out deer hunting, sleeping in the back of a motorcycle trailer. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and them coyotes. And I got scared, and I'm going, "They're going to get me." And I'm going, "You're in a trailer. They ain't going to open the door." So I went back to sleep. Doleful creatures. "And owls shall dwell there." You know what that is? You know what owls are? Remember, they got wings, right? God's showing you something, isn't he? They're spirits. And owls, they rule the darkness. And they're flesh eaters. They are consuming you. They're feeding on you and your family and your children. Wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. Owls shall dwell there. Satyrs shall dance there. That's devils. The wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. A palace is a house. That's your house. That's this church. Should God decide to pull the shepherd out. This wisdom in this Bible. Remember that? So we ask the question, when you go in this house and you see the roaches and the rats and the possums and the raccoons and the birds' nests and dirt daubers. By the way, bees and wasps and dirt daubers, what do they have on their tail? A sting. Have you not read in the Bible about the sting of death? There's wisdom in that. The sting of death is what? Sin. So ask the question, why is it when you go into this house that all these beasts are living in there? Why did they move in? It's because the people moved out. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis 9. I want you to see this in your Bible. Genesis 9. If any man here has ever walked up to a deer and put a knife in his throat while he's standing there looking at you, I want to hear from you. Because I want to know how you do it. I'm lucky to even shoot one. Genesis chapter 9. In the fear of, verse 2, "In the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every" what? "Of the earth, and upon every" "and upon all that" "and upon all the" "fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered." How many of you can catch a catfish just by getting in the water and grabbing them? Aside from noodling. Who in here can catch a bird? Who in here can catch a squirrel or a deer? Caleb, you ought to see him. He runs fast. And when he was younger, he thought he could catch rabbits in the yard. We'd pull in the yard at night, and the headlights flash on them rabbits sitting out in your yard. He said, "Dad, hold on. Leave the lights on." And pretty soon he'd take off. Like that. That rabbit, boom, 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 he's gone. "Dad, I can't catch him." Let me tell you why, son. God took, watch this now. You're fixing to go, wow. In every creature on this earth, God gave them a fear of you. Every one of them. Even snakes. Even serpents. Even varmints. Even dangerous creatures, bears. They say they're more scared of you, right? That's why they will attack if pushed. You know what a wolf is scared of? That's what a wolf is scared of. A man who will stand. See, a wolf has a disadvantage over a man because a wolf cannot do one thing that a man can do, and that is stand at his level. Where's the wolf's target on your body? Where's his target? How's he going to get there with you standing? You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to start running. Because they can run faster than you. And they know it. And if you get on the run, they'll run up behind you and start biting on the back of your heels until you do what? While we're here, let me ask people in this auditorium, how many of you have in life fallen, and when you did, you knew the devils were all over you? Raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay to be honest in church. This is like an AA meeting, only we're all sinners. Amen? Amen? Amen. We're all sinners. Might as well admit it. Yes. You're in church. Mm-hmm. I have. A just man falleth. Sometimes. And when you fell, here they come. Because now that man has fallen, where is the neck in relation to the wolf? Below him. He's got you, doesn't he? See how it works? See why Paul told us to do this? Amen. Who's the man? Jesus. Pontius Pilate looked at him and said, "Behold, the man." There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Watch this. Devils are not scared of you. Are they? Do you know why? God made you lower than them. Psalm says that. What is the Son of Man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him lower than the angels. They're not scared of you. You know it, don't you? Who then are they scared of? You better believe it. So what? Here we go now. Get ready. Here's the man. Here's the man. See that? King James Bible. This is the man, Christ. He's the Word. When he shows up, devils flee. Yes. Amen. See, I don't know if I believe that. Watch this now. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee. Woo! Here's Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. The devil comes to tempt him just like we are tempted, yet without sin. Jesus, three times, doesn't do a hocus pocus on him, doesn't try to pour holy water on him, doesn't do a ritual dance. He speaks the word of God to him. And when he spoke the word of God, the devil left him. Somebody say amen. Amen. He can't stand in the presence of the word of God. Amen. You get this Bible out, preacher, and you preach this book, and I mean devils will go running out the door that was coming in here for church service. You, hey, husbands, you get alone, and you get this Bible out, and you read it, and you weep, and you repent, and the devils will leave your marriage alone. God will heal your wives. God will bless your children with this book. Somebody say amen. Amen. He'll leave you. Woo! Man, I got to stop stomping that foot. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. That's what will happen when you put the Bible and a praying knee out of your life. Give me a minute. I'm about to get dizzy. What's that up on the screen? What is that? What's inside there, preacher? Doleful creatures. What happened? The man left. Listen, I want to show you something else. Look up here on the screen. A church could have 20,000 people sitting in it and be a habitation for dragons.
That's right.
If the man is not there. It is true. You know, listen, you know why you guys are so easy to preach to? You already know this Bible well enough to know what I'm telling you is right. You're not sitting there arguing with me going, oh, I don't believe that. That's a bunch of nonsense. You guys are amening. Listen, I've been watching you guys tonight. Some of you have been bowing your heads praying. Some of you have been crying. Some of you guys, God's been dealing with you about keeping the lights off in your life. God's been dealing with you guys about keeping the lights out of your family. God's dealing with some of you church members about how much light there is in this church when you guys get together. Oh Lord, send down the Spirit. Send down the light. No, the light comes in when this walks in the door with you. Thorns also. Dragons love to live where there's thorns. You know what thorns are a picture of? Sin. Here we go. What did Paul have in his flesh? And what did he say it was? A messenger of Satan. You know what that was? That was the spirit. Now, let me talk to you guys for a minute. I love you. I'm one of you. Every man in this auditorium and every man listening to me right now, you've asked God to take a thorn out of your flesh more than thrice. You've got it, and I know you've got it. You've got it because I do, and you're made out of the same dirt as I am. Now, let me give you help. God will either do one of two things for you, guys. He will either A, remove the thorn because you asked him to, or B, give you grace. And Paul said, I'll keep the thorn so that God's strength will be manifested in my weakness. The hardest day of my life was when my wife and I shared my weakness. Hardest day of my life. By God's grace, I'm here tonight.
Amen.
God chased some dragons away. You glad you came tonight?
Amen.
Notice that he said, I will make Jerusalem a heaps and a den of dragons. Jerusalem is a type of the church. If you think that because you're a church and because there's people on every pew here that you can't fall and God pull his shepherd out, you're crazy.
Right.
We left a denomination because it was full of dragons. We could not fellowship with these other churches.
Yes.
We left. Okay? In the church, den of dragons, false doctrines, false prayers, false prophets, prophecies, the home, worldly amusements. They're darkness, people. Pure darkness. Entertainment, pornography, self-will. On and on and on and on. Those are the things where the dragons will be. This is where they like to nest. This is the let me tell you what you've done. You have created an area of your life where these dragons feel comfortable in living. And they're not leaving. You've created a space. It's just like if you had an old shed that you closed off and you didn't go in no more. They're moving in there. They're going to be in there. You're going to go back there in 5 years and find all kinds of droppings and nests and webs and everything else in there. You know they've been living in there. Why? You created a space for them. You got into all this darkness and junk in this world, and you created a little space where they said, you know what? Hey, there's no light in there. We're going to move right in there. No wonder you got them in there. No wonder you got the problems you got.
That's right.
Behold, the noise of the brood is come. You know what a brood is? It's a beast. And Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons and a desolation forever. There shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. He said it word for word, didn't he?
Yes.
Where the dragons are, the son of man is gone from that place.
Yep. Amen.
I'm going to ask you, where's the son of man? It'll be without an inhabitant. Swallow me up like a dragon. Dragons consume. Remember, the Satan devours. Devouring our resources, devouring our time, devouring our health, devouring our strength, devouring our morality. Now I'm going to tell you a story that I don't like to tell because it's hard. It's hard on my family. Our whole family was affected by this. I got three daughters, three of the cutest, prettiest, loveliest daughters. They all three work for me. And I can say, girls, this is what I want you to do. And then go do it. I don't have to worry about firing them. Amen? Because they ain't going to go against daddy. Okay? And the greatest thing that God ever gave me and my wife, shoot, let's bypass the kids and have grandkids. Amen?
Amen!
Amen. Got two of them back there. They're the biggest aggravators in the world. I love them. I wouldn't trade them for $1 million. My oldest daughter, she met her man out of Poplar Bluff, and they settled into a house and said, Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant. Amen. Praise the Lord. She went to have an ultrasound. And they called her in and said, we see an issue. I said, okay. And they said, your child is going to be a girl. And she has what we call a diaphragmatic hernia. The diaphragm is what separates your heart and lungs from your bowels. It keeps those bowels down there and keeps your heart and lungs up here. It's like the firmament of the heaven. Hers had a rupture in it. And they said, what happens is the stomach and the bowels move into the area where the heart and lungs are. And the heart and lungs don't develop. And these children, if they live long enough, they can have a surgery after they're born. And we can repair that. And that'll give the heart and lung space to grow as they grow if they live long enough. And my wife told me that. And I made a decision right then and there that I was not going to love that child. I was not going to get attached to that child because I had it figured I was going to do that baby's funeral and I was going to have to stand strong and do that and not have the emotional attachment to it. So I made up my mind. Sure as a world, God always has plan B. So my wife brought home an ultrasound picture of that baby and stuck it on my favorite place in the house, the refrigerator. And every time I went to the fridge, I looked at that baby and I glanced away. The day came when the baby was born. It's a girl, Adeline Renee. And I was there. And I immediately felt my heart pounding to see how if she was going to make it or not. And they put her in an incubator and they rushed her from one hospital across a crossway to the children's hospital next door. And we got this glance and I went, and they put her in the neonatal ICU and they were just pumping volumes of air into her. Heart, lung, machine, the whole thing. This lung, almost non-existent. Her heart had not developed. And we would go up there, and we'd see her. And my wife would say, "You want to hold her?" "No. Mm-mm. Not going to touch her." I went up there one day, and I had my iPad out and I was taking pictures. And there's a picture of her. She's looking right at me. 5 weeks into it, they said, "We're pumping air so hard in her, we're just blowing holes in her lung. And she's not going to make it." So my daughter and son-in-law made the brave decision to say, "That's enough." And me knowing that this day was going to come, when that nurse came in the door and said, "She's gone," I about collapsed. I couldn't take it. We gathered in the room with her. My daughter was holding her. My son-in-law. "Dad, you want to hold her?" "No." I never touched her. When we left that hospital, and it's like somebody had taken a knife and cut a big hole out of me and took it out. It was gone. We were going to have her funeral. This was in January. We were going to have her funeral at our church. I was going to preach the message. And I sat there one day at the church just dazed like this. And I sat there and I sat there and I sat there. And I don't know, you get something built up inside you. You know how you got to get it out? And I was sat there in my office thinking, I got to cut a tree down. I called my wife. I said, "I'm coming home early. What's the matter?" I said, "I'm just coming home early. What are you going to do?" "I'm going to cut a tree down." She said, "Okay." So I got home, changed my clothes, got the axe out. I had just sharpened it for deer season, cut up firewood, and I went down the woods. So I'm down in the woods behind our house. There's barbed wire fence runs down the property of our house, goes all the way down into the woods and comes back across. That's our property. I want you to remember I said that. So I'm down in the woods, and I'm looking at trees, and I'm going, "Now that one's still alive, it's too big." So I found the deadest, most rancid, decrepit tree I could find. And I stood in front of it, and I started beating on that tree. And as I hit that tree, stuff started coming out of me, things I was saying, and it's between me and God. And I hit on that tree, and I beat on that tree, and I thumped that tree, and I finally just, I couldn't do it anymore, and I just stood there. And I heard a sound. And you know, January, right? You know, remember deer season? Them stupid squirrels sound like deer running through the woods. You stupid squirrel ought to lay. So I heard a noise. I thought it was a squirrel. And I looked up like that, and I looked over where the noise was, and it wasn't a squirrel. It was a pit bull dog. I hate them things. I'm not scared of chihuahuas and Lhasa Apso's and Shih Tzu's. I'm not scared of them. I'm scared of pit bulls. Them things got jaws that tear your head off. There's a man up in St. Louis. They found him dead in his house. Got eat by his own pit bulls. Crazy stuff. And here comes a pit bull on the other side of the fence. Listen to me now. That's a beast. And here he come toward me. And I had the axe in my hand. I'm thinking, I'm going to have to chop him up. And I was squared away like this. And he got to the fence. And I went, go out of here. Huh? Like that. And when I did that, I was thinking, he knows I'm here now. Here he comes. And he looked at me. And he turned around and left three pounds. And he was gone. And God reminded me of Genesis chapter 9. I put a fear in them of you, Mike. And I said, that goes for the rest of you. You stay out of my family. You stay out of my house. You stay out of my church. I did. Get out of here. And that day God had me down in that woods to show me that when the man stands, the beasts run.
Amen.
Okay? That was 5 years ago, and I missed that little girl. I'll see her in heaven. And I said, God, I will submit to you. And if it's your will, you can have every member of my family and take them up there and keep them safe with you. And God, help me so that the devils don't come and get my family. I hate telling that, but it'll help you. Look at this verse. Look at that. Look up on the screen. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather. See, when they get there and lay the nest, all of a sudden they multiply, don't they? Because you know what one sin turns into, don't you? You know what one drink turns into, don't you? Huh? You know what one shot of meth does, don't you? It has babies. And there shall the vultures also be gathered, everyone with her mate. I'm seeing vultures everywhere down here. Roadkills, vultures everywhere. Watch this now. Here's the remedy. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her maid. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. Get that Bible open, and the devils will flee out of your church. They'll flee out of your life and your home. Amen. Amen. God help us. I'm going to ask you, I'm not even going to ask you to stand. I'm just going to ask you to just get on your knees and crawl down here. And let God deal with your life. Men, I'm pleading with you. I love you, men. I'm one of you. I got the same grit in me as you got. You, first of all, you need to get it under the blood. Secondly, you need to ask for some grace for the thorns in your life. Thirdly, you need to ask God to cast light on the shadows and the shady parts of your life. And God, listen, you're waiting for your wife. It's not her job, it's yours.
Amen. Amen.
Quit waiting on your wife. She ain't the head. She's the body. The head takes charge.
Amen.
Head leads. The body goes where the head goes. So men, come down here. Be men. Be men. Be men. Be men. Come on, be men. This is what men look like. Men don't sit and fight. You're fighting, listen, you're fighting a God that you can't beat. He'll win over you, whether you let him or not. Unless you're too afraid to let go of the shadows. Come down here and be a man. Ladies, if your husband's down here, come down here and put your arms on him. Tell him you love him. Tell him you go pray for him every day. Tell him the head needs to be the head. Tell him we're going to get the shadows out of our home. We're going to shine a light. Father, bless this church. Bless this pastor. Bless his wife. Lord, help him to find where the shadows are in his church. Shine a light in it, God. I know God is going to get resistance and it's going to be people fighting because they don't like the light. They're going to buck up against him because they don't like the light. There's already too many nests built in their life. They don't like it. God, help him to shine the light. Bless these men. Bless these elder men in this church, God. Lord, I love them. Bless them, dear God. Help them to stand in the evil day. Help them, dear God, to stand and be a light in every corner in this church. Help them to be a light at home. Help their wives, dear God, to pray for their husbands and ask God to give them a godly husband that'll serve you, God, and shine a light in their home. Show them where the darkness is, Lord, so the devils and the owls and the devils, Lord, the dragons will leave. God, don't make our houses desolate. God, please don't take the shepherd away. God, give us light. Give us, Lord Jesus Christ, standing tall for us, Lord, and the devils will leave us alone. They're scared of him. Father, just bless this church. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me down here, Lord. You bless me so much, Father. Just, Lord, bless these people. I love them. Give them great strength and great courage, dear God. Lord, use them mightily, Lord, in this area. Lord, there are principalities in this town. There's no doubt about it. God, I know where some of them are. And God, these people are going to have to stand against that one of these days. I pray, God, that you'd help them do it. Help them to shine the light, Lord, for these people in Jesus' name. I'll pray as long as you want.